Thank you very much. So this article is jointly, this paper is joint with two colleagues, Haiyan Ku, who's in the audience, just taking a picture embarrassingly, but Haiyan is an expert statistician, and we'll call on her if necessary, that would be great, and senior methodologist Richard Shuchuk, who's just a wonderful guy. Also at UAB. The grant comes from NIAID, an RO3 awarded to me very kindly. So the standard, you know, findings and conclusions don't necessarily represent the views of NIH, etc. And wow, yes, like someone else quipped, I mean, I wish I had a Swiss bank account to report, but unfortunately I'm a relative peasant and no real relationships to disclose. C'est la vie. So, all right, we've just heard a little bit, thankfully, on HPV vaccination, wonder drug. It's against the skin cell virus and a common STI. Most people will have HPV at some point in their lives. It's also the most common STI in the US. And it's a large HPV disease burden, as we've also just heard, but it's poorly understood by the public. Although researchers and epidemiologists have managed to describe much better now what that disease burden is than was the case just a decade ago. Since 2006, prophylactic vaccination is now available for girls aged 11 to 12 from the age of 9 onwards, but the target age range is 11 to 12. So really, just before sexual activity begins, and of course that can prevent disease carcinogenic processes occurring to women, and Gardasil is protective against also about 75% of anal cancers, which occurs in males as well as women, and it's effective against 90% of genital wart cases as well. So very good in theory, because it's dependent, of course, upon adoption. And the bulk of the literature has focused on parents, children, somewhat less, on providers. And this paper argues that it's wrong to think of providers as monolithic. They're far from it. They're actually pretty differentiated. And it's sort of a little neglected dimension of the literature, and it's one that we've been focusing on, and I think to very good effect. So ACIP recommends HPV vaccination then for routine use among adolescents, female adolescents ages 11 to 12, catch-up vaccination for older, young adult women. And HPV vaccine can greatly reduce infection and cervical cancer death rates, as well as genital warts, which is why it's now it's found safe and effective in boys, it's now also approved for such use, although of course it's so damn expensive, not many state health departments and insurance plans are very keen on funding it. So, HPV vaccination, safe and effective, three-dose injectable delivery, administered over the course of 6 months, usually. That's the recommendation. But vaccination rates remain lamentably low. CDC 2011 data issued right at the end of August, early September, indicated that now just over about 53% of women aged 13 to 17 are now getting one dose, but that's only half the story. I mean, that's bad enough that it's not higher after 6 years, but it's only about a third of them are completing all three doses. There's a big variation in coverage rates across states. It's as low as 16% in Arkansas. It's marginally higher in Mississippi, 20%, and about a quarter of the cases in this survey come from Mississippi. It's about 30% in Alabama. So the Deep South states, about half of the sample in this survey, are in states that are clearly underrepresented. I mean, the problems are more acute. And evidence also indicates that primary care physicians, so fundamentally pediatricians and family practitioners, they are also may not be as quite as willing to recommend it as often as they claim. And there's also a pretty low awareness of HPV, especially among the public, as we've also just heard. So, study objectives here, twofold primarily, to identify subgroups of physicians in terms of what they think about HPV vaccination and their responses specifically to an array of questions regarding potential adherence barriers to recommending prescribing HPV vaccination for adolescent females. We ask questions to the broader age groups, but we focus here on the target age groups, 11 to 12 years of age. And secondly, a second major objective to examine the relative significance attached by different groups of primary care physicians to various factors perceived to influence their decisions to prescribe HPV vaccination to their adolescent female patients. Such work is needed to help inform policy-related efforts to increase vaccination rates as well as to reduce disparities in uptake. So, the analytical plan, firstly, development and pretesting of an original survey implemented in July to September 2011. So the study was conducted just before the Republican presidential hopefuls, who should go nameless, Bachmann and Perry, before they sparred over mandated HPV vaccination and sparked renewed controversy about this whole issue. And so we descriptive statistics, and secondly, we adopted a model-based clustering approach, latent class analysis, to identify groups of primary care physicians based on their perceptions, patterns of responses to questions regarding possible barriers to whether they would prescribe HPV vaccine. So, the survey developed about primary care physicians' attitudes regarding HPV vaccination and their decisions to prescribe it, and specifically included 8 questions that we're here using in this manuscript about perceived attitudinal barriers towards HPV vaccination as well, but we also collected data on other attitudes, professional and practice related characteristics, and we'll call on that, some of that here. And it was a mixed mode survey carried out primarily by web, but also fax and telephone. And all the respondents have vaccinated teens in the recommended age groups. That was a precursor to entry into the study. So we used a systematic randomized sampling design to administer our study questionnaire, and the PCPs were asked in particular this one key question: how significantly does each of the following affect your decision to prescribe HPV vaccination, particularly with respect to the target age group, 11 to 12 year old females? And the concerns included these 8 factors: vaccine costs, reimbursement issues for healthcare providers, vaccine storage, maintenance issues, patients' adherence to follow-up vaccinations, effectiveness doubts or safety concerns that they may have held as well, and the age of patients' potential influence on patients' sexual behavior, about which we've just been hearing. So the responses, it was a Likert scale, but we recoded the responses basically as a binary measure using 0 equals responses not much significant to very significant, 1. And the key sample characteristics, we had money to basically recruit 301 people pediatricians account and family practitioners, about equally split then between the two types of practitioners. Over half were from Alabama and Mississippi, the Deep South, where these problems of vaccination coverage are particularly acute, and almost half from 10 randomly selected other states. And in all, just over half the sample were male. And on average, they had about 21 years of practice experience post-graduation. So quite a lot, with about 16 and a half years providing adolescent immunization. Here are some other characteristics. I don't think we need to dwell on them particularly, but about half the sample were suburban clinics, practitioners, and half reported that at least 25% of their patients were using public assistance. Just 3 out of 5 almost clinics were using electronic health records, and about 72% of the physicians were Caucasian. So one other finding not indicated here, about a quarter of all primary care physicians in the survey had initiated discussion about HPV vaccination less than half the times that they met an unvaccinated adolescent female patient in their office. So that's not much at all, and they generally devote only about 6 to 8 minutes discussing it. So not much. And even the most receptive group that I'll mention in a moment to HPV vaccination did not prescribe the vaccine as, generally speaking, as per the practice schedule. They tended to do it around age 13, so later than recommended. So when we studied the sample overall, we first examined the overall sample, and we found that of the 301 primary care physicians, when we looked at their aggregate responses, we found that most primary care physicians considered each of these barriers, the 8 barriers, as not significant, with one major exception: vaccine cost. Maybe not major surprise, as you know, it's a phenomenally expensive vaccine. But we were curious. We thought, this is something funny here going on. This is perhaps too coherent. So we looked at this, we adopted this technique to segment this sample of 301 people and to look at some of the unobserved heterogeneity. And we found, hey presto, the actual sample of 301 included 3 distinct groups of primary care physicians in terms of their attitudes about HPV vaccination. And this figure shows, firstly, the dotted line in black shows the overall sample, and then there are 3 distinct groups who attach different levels of significance to the different barriers. And if you look in the top left of that chart, really the scale should be from 0 to 1. 1 is highly significant, extremely significant. 0 is barely significant at all. But 96% roughly of group 2 and 94% of group 3 primary care physicians considered extremely important the issue of vaccine cost, compared to just 29% of group 2 respondents. And group 1 was roughly half the sample. They are the people who considered the problems generally moderately important. Group 2 is 31% of the sample, and group 3, 18% of the sample. They were the ones who saw major problems right across the board. That's the top line. They see massive problems with the vaccine. They're the ones for which interventions above all need to be targeted. So these 3 groups, this slide essentially just considers what we just saw in that slide. So group 3, the bottom bullet point here, found all these concerns significant, at least 80%, 99%, I mean extremely significant, whereas half the sample saw relatively few problems. Group 1 associated with the vaccine. This is just how they break down. So cluster size, the group size, row 1, 50% the sample, group 1, they're the ones who see moderate problems. Group 3 is 18% the sample, they're the ones who see big problems. And notice group 2, generally speaking, minor problems. So also, we decided to characterize these groups, and those three groups, we managed to characterize them further according to their sociodemographic profile and practice-related characteristics. And group 1 included relatively more males. We'll see this. Let me just show this table. This is the last table to show you. And group 1, so column 1, included relatively more males, about 56%, and they also, group 1, tended to have more suburban practices, 60%, with an average of about 9 physicians per clinic practice. Group 2, on average, had about slightly fewer physicians per clinic practice, about 8. And group 3, which are the ones who see the big problems, they are more likely to be minorities for some reason, practicing in urban clinics and small clinics. And they generally perceive the vaccine more negatively. They also vaccinated girls at an older age, about 13 and a half. So there were some significant differences then. Which were very much of interest. So, essentially, conclusions, key conclusions, just 2 slides. Sorry, don't panic, Professor, we're just a minute to last slide. So, we conducted a mixed-mode survey, pediatricians, family practitioners, using a systematic, randomized sampling design to administer the questionnaire developed for this study. It was a theoretically informed questionnaire. Some limitations, yes, small study, a small sample size, essentially self-report, cross-sectional survey. But when we looked at a number of the variables, we cross-tabulated some of the data, we actually found extremely good concordance. We have good reason to believe that this data, the questions were pretty well pre-tested, developed, and there seems to be quite a lot of internal consistency. So that's all very reassuring. So half the sample roughly from the Deep South, the rest generally from across the US. So it's not quite nationally representative, but it's broadly indicative. And we targeted this, especially at the low age, the target age group, 11 to 12-year-old females. And overall, no significant differences among respondents in how they perceive the barriers to HPV vaccination when we study them in the aggregate, which is like the great bulk of people do. But we looked at this using segmentation analysis, and we found some significant differences. And PCPs hold pretty different opinions about HPV vaccination. We identified 3 distinct groups of different size, and these groups have distinct views about perceived barriers. And they are marked further by distinct profiles of not just the perceived barriers, but also we were able to identify slightly different professional, socio-demographic, and practice-related characteristics. So, pretty interesting, and in this last slide, this just sums up group 3, almost 1/5 of the sample, they're the people who see massive problems with the vaccine, major problems with multiple aspects. I mean, we did 8 barriers, which our pre-testing showed to be the most significant likely barriers. Was also at a slightly older age than recommended, in general around age 13, 13 and a half. So that's also a bit worrying. Clearly indicative too that they still, PCPs, primary care physicians still experience some significant discomfort in talking about and prescribing HPV vaccination towards their female patients. Very interesting, because it's sort of masked by a lot of the literature. We think that a lot of analysts are not aren't asking some of the best questions here. And that contributes in turn to low vaccine uptake and continuation among patients. So, obviously, the causes of low vaccine HPV vaccination coverage are multifactorial, but we think we've identified here some other issues that are rarely reported, and that focuses on looking at primary care physicians in a little bit more depth, and we're hopeful that this can help us identify also to whom we should be targeting strategies down the line for possible interventions. Thanks very much.